Join your host, Alistair Rayner, as he shares information on the latest research on livestock production, tips on how to boost your profitability, advice on how to secure the health of your herd, interviews with industry leaders, and moments of inspiration. Alistair will take you from the paddock to the research lab and give you ways to improve your operation. From moments on the farm, education, some delicious recipes, and a bit of fun. We hope you enjoy.
G'day, I'm Alistair Rayner. Welcome to my podcast, Rayner Reckons. When was the last time you saw a fox? I reckon you shouldn't have to think that hard about it, even if you're living in town or even in the city. In fact, only the other night, I saw a fox happily trotting across the oval of a school just down the road from my house. I've seen foxes out in the bush, and I've actually even seen one when I was getting off the train at Homebush to go to a Sydney show meeting. You don't expect to see a fox every day in the city, but there's certainly plenty of them about. Foxes are a huge problem for Australian agriculture. And if you're a sheep farmer, if you've lost poultry to foxes, I'm sure you know this already. It's really frustrating, I think, that cattle producers don't always see foxes as much as a problem as they would as if they were losing lambs or losing chooks every week. In fact, I think for sheep producers, it can be a real frustration if they want to control foxes, if they've got cattle producers neighbouring to them who don't see foxes as the same high priority as they do to try and get on top of and control. But the thing is, foxes can pose just as much of a problem for cattle producers as they do for sheep producers. It's just that the damage foxes do in a cow herd is a lot harder to see, and I guess therefore becomes not so much of a priority to worry about if you're a cattle producer. I wanted to put the impact that foxes could cause into a cattle herd into some perspective. And the way to do that is to go back and think about the impact that foxes have on production and on profitability. So in a cow herd, the primary driver of profit is the kilograms of beef produced per hectare. We know from a lot of research by New South Wales DPI and by companies like Holmes and Sackett that production per hectare accounts for around 80% of the variation in an enterprise's cost of production. And in turn, your cost of production accounts for about 80% of the variation in enterprise profit. So if you'd like to be more productive and you want to be much more profitable, and I guess we all want to make a little bit more money, maximising the kilograms of beef per hectare that you produce is a really important area to focus on. And in breeding herds, one of the big drivers of productivity is getting your fertility right. It makes a lot more sense for you to have a much more fertile herd with all your cows having calves, rather than running more cows that have got a lower level of fertility. I guess in my mind, I'd sooner have 95% calving with 100 cows than 80% calving from 120 cows. So if you're doing the maths, either way, you get 85 calves. But if you have to run 120 cows to do it, then you're really wasting a lot of feed and you're definitely increasing your cost of production, not lowering it. So what's this got to do with foxes? Well, one of the big causes of fertility problems in cattle is actually caused by a parasite. It's known as Neosporocanium, and it's responsible for abortions in cattle. We know from research done by the Department of Primary Industries in New South Wales that on the north coast of New South Wales, Neosporocanium is thought to be responsible for over 30% of the abortion losses in both beef and dairy herds. That's a really big contributor to poor fertility. And if you've already been working quite hard to improve your fertility by addressing other diseases like leptospirosis or vibriosis, it pretty much leaves Neospora as one of the biggest causes of abortion losses in your herd. Cows become infected by Neospora as a result of eating the parasite eggs that might be found on grass or forage. And the eggs are there as a result of fox or dog poo on the grass sometime previously. It's basically thought that foxes and dogs become infected with the Neospora parasite after they eat infected fetal tissue or afterbirth. And if you've ever been out in a calving paddock at night time, you know foxes are opportunistic feeders. And during calving, they take advantage of afterbirth, as well as preying on vulnerable calves if they get a chance. And while foxes don't always kill calves, the fact that they're spreading a parasite around like Neospora means they're having an impact on your herd fertility anyway. But you've also probably seen plenty of little calves that have got nipped off tails or even parts of ears missing as foxes come in and have a nip while they're actually being born. I was at a sale not so long ago and talking to a producer who was showing me a cow that had a bite mark that she'd grown up with, and that was a result of a fox taking a hasty meal as that calf was being born. So as a cattle producer, it makes a lot of economic sense to start controlling foxes. If you're worried about Neospora, the bad news is, as a parasite, there's not a lot we can do about it to directly control it. So what we have to try and do is break the cycle as much as possible. That means two things. First of all, you really want to get on top of your fox problem. So thinking about controlling foxes through coordinated baiting programs. And secondly, thinking about reducing the opportunities for foxes to actually come in contact with your cattle. And I guess that part of that is going to be getting around your paddocks and trying to clean up afterbirth or the remains of calving. You really want to discourage foxes from hanging around your calving cows. Now, I know that that's not always going to be completely possible, particularly in extensive areas. But if you're a dairy producer or if you're calving in small paddocks, keeping your paddocks clean and doing a little bit of housekeeping, even if it is a bit messy, that can go a long way to controlling the problem. The other thing to remember is that cows do die and calves do die. Don't just leave them to rot away in the paddock or to be cleaned up by foxes and crows and other feral animals. You really want to get on top of that. Try and destroy the carcass if you can by burning it or burying it. Don't burn it if there's a fire danger on. But cleaning up carcasses around your paddocks and discouraging foxes from hanging around looking for that free, easy meal can help reduce the incidence of Neospora spreading through your herd. I know it's not the dramatic treatment that you might like to do with leptospirosis where you can give a vaccine, but it's probably the best that we've got at this stage. So I'd really get on top of doing both of those things. The other thing to think about with foxes is the impact that they have on native wildlife. And I don't think I've ever met a farmer who doesn't like watching little birds while they're out working or notice the little native marsupials that kick around as they're out mustering cattle or doing just the things that we like to do. And I guess it's one of the best things about farming. Most people tell me is that they love being out in nature. They love seeing the animals that are out there and being outside. And while we don't always say how much we love it, you and I both know we like seeing and being around our native animals. So hopefully, you'll be thinking about the birds you saw in the garden this morning. And I guess if you've got chooks, you're probably already thinking about their safety. If you haven't had a lot of experience with foxes, you might be thinking, well, a fox doesn't eat that much. I actually saw some research not so long ago that suggests a fox eats about 400 grams of food a day. So the pest research team that did that work found that about a third of what they eat will be made up from farm livestock. So that's a big impact if you've got livestock that is vulnerable to foxes. The next third comes from pest animals like mice or rabbits. And the final third comes from wildlife. So if you think foxes are not so bad because they're keeping on top of your rabbits, it's probably much easier for a fox to go and catch some native wildlife or to catch or prey on your farm livestock. When you think about it, a third of a diet or 300 to 400 grams a day coming from rabbits, really not that much. So we know that foxes will eat 100% of their diet from whatever's easiest to catch. So the research that I saw said that foxes will make 50% of their diet up from farm livestock if that's the easiest option for them. So if you've got chooks or lambs or goats, little kids, that's a huge impact on you. Lambing time, we know that losses from foxes can range anywhere from 10 to 30%. And I don't know anyone who can really sustain a 30% loss in a lambing flock year after year. So while you're starting to add up how much foxes can eat, the other thing to think about is just how many foxes there are. So I said to you a little bit earlier on, I've seen foxes pottering around in Tamworth. I've seen them down in Sydney at the train station. And we know that there's heaps of foxes around. Someone said to me once that if you see a fox, there's probably another four or five that you haven't seen quite close. And some research done by the DPI and the CRC for Pest Research suggests that fox populations sit on average at about four foxes per square kilometre. They worked that out that within a 2 kilometre radius of your home, there's probably about 50 foxes quite happily living close to you. And if you spread that out to a 5 kilometre radius around your home, it's about 312 foxes. Now, when you think about the damage 312 foxes can do, it's probably not a surprise that you don't see a lot of little wildlife poking around. We know that foxes don't respect fences, so just because you're controlling foxes on your place, if you live 5 kilometres from someone who isn't, there's probably a very good chance that there's a couple of hundred foxes jumping the fence every night and coming towards your place. So that really emphasises the need to be coordinated and work together to control fox problems. And I guess that brings me to some of my last points. Foxes are everyone's problem. The wildlife they destroy takes a little bit out of our day. And it's not just the birds and the little marsupials we love to see. We know that they'll have a go and bring down wallabies. And I wouldn't put it past them to have a go at koalas or other wildlife that we really love seeing around our farms and get quite a thrill of when we see them. We know they spread disease. and that disease has a direct financial impact on your enterprise, regardless of whether you run sheep or cattle. So what does that really mean? At the end of the day, foxes are our problem, collectively in agriculture, and I guess in society. But in agriculture, we really have a vested interest because they have that direct financial impact, either by taking away our animals directly, lambs and chooks and kids, or they spread disease that impacts on the productivity of our cattle herd. So quite simply, I think that we all need to start thinking about working much more collectively with our neighbours on this one. It's no good with only some of you doing fox control if the neighbour next door is not doing anything. And you can't leave it to the guys just with small livestock. If you're a cattle producer, you're committed to this as well. So get involved. Talk to your neighbours, talk to the pest control guys, and if you can start to bring a coordinated fox program to bear in your area, you'll do a lot to protect your herd, and you'll also be protecting the animals that brighten up your day. I'm always keen to hear from you if you've got some ideas or an experience to share, and you can always share your posts on the Rainer Ag Facebook page. Simply go to Facebook and like Rainer Ag. If you'd like to send me a message or sign up for my e-newsletter, you can do this through the Rainer Ag website. It's all the W's at rainerag.com.au. And if you use Twitter, I can be found at AlRainer302. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.